Well, Jesus, we just invite you here today, and Lord, just have your way in us today, God. We love you so much. Amen. All right. So I got this friend who, he's probably about my age, might be a little older now, but he grew up in Tennessee in a true Southern, like, Baptist church. And Keith, a couple of our friends from Nebraska know Keith. When Keith was 13 years old, okay, my son is 13. When he was 13, he's sitting in the church service, and it's a pretty interactive type, you know, it's what you'd imagine. And it's his cousin who's like leading the service, and he's like, "And Lord," having Keith describe it's pretty fun. It's pretty colorful, but he's like, "I just feel the Lord sharing today that Brother Keith is going to bring the word of God." Here's this 13-year-old boy who's not prepared, doesn't know anything about this, and he gets called out immediately by the minister that he's going to come up and preach the sermon that day. And he's 13, right? And so I'm like, "Keith, what'd you do?" And he's like, "Well, it wasn't a choice. Like, they're clapping. They're pulling me up. I'm scared." And he said, "I just got up there and I told him everything I could remember about Jesus." I'm like, and he's still in the church, like he didn't leave. I mean, he loves Jesus today, which is really awesome. This guy, he's incredible. He ends up, you know, he moves to the Midwest and he becomes a state trooper. And this is a big man. I mean, if you've seen the Narnia movies and the giants in the land, this is him. I mean, he's just built like a tank. And I'd go out to eat with him, and he's got his bulletproof vest on under his shirt. I mean, like, he needs more, you know. People are scared to death of this guy. And so he learned bass guitar purely for the only reason is so that he loves music and he wants to play in the worship band. And so he was my bass player for about a decade. And awesome man of God, mighty intimidating to a lot of people. And so Keith would do this thing where when Keith felt things needed a little shaking, Keith would shake. And it could be in a song, it could be between something, but he would just shout out, "God is good," in this really loud, deep voice. And everybody's like, you know, wakes up, and it's like, all the time. And they know they have to say that, or they got to face him. And then he'd say, "All the time," and everybody in the church would say, "God is good." And it was just this really fun, I laughed. I don't know that everybody else laughed about it, but it was just a really cool, positive deal where Keith's like, "Look, we got to praise God. And sometimes we got to shake ourselves in order to praise God." And I think there's so much reality in that. There is, if you look through Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, there's so many verses about praise the Lord. Like, at all times, praise the Lord. And so there's one we're going to put on the screen. I just want us to read together, okay? It's just like three verses, but we're going to read this. It's out of Psalm 96, and I find this incredible. Let's read this together, okay? "Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." Okay, that psalm, think about when it was written, way before Jesus came, right? So this is a psalm, a song they would sing, right? "Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day." Tell about his salvation every day. What's his salvation if it's before the cross, right? Because we think, oh, salvation, yeah, that's what Jesus got us. That's awesome, right? His salvation is it's just that, though. It's his saving, it's his deliverance. And so the Old Testament is filled with language like this, and it's even before Christ, that we would tell of the saving work of God every day. That would be part of, like, what we do. It's like, it's part of a follower of God. Declare among the nations, right? He's to be feared above all gods. Anything else that we love or worship or idolize, our God is greater, and we should tell the nations about this. This is a psalm. Well, think about today. We live on the other side of the cross, so now salvation has like a fullness of meaning. It had a great meaning in Psalm 96. It's got a way better meaning today for us, because we know that Christ died for us to set us free, to like our past. I just can't get over this. Like our past, like what we've done, who we were, is irrelevant, because Jesus knew that person. He knew you at your worst. He said he loved you, and so he died for you to pay the penalty so that we could just have heaven. We could live with God eternally. I mean, it's grace. It's incredible. And we're called by him to share the news of what God has done, his salvation. What do we do when we, say you go out to dinner and it's like the best meal you've ever had. There's only one thing you can do, right? You go home, you put it on social media, and you tell people, you see people the next day and you're like, hey, by the way, I went to this really sweet place, you know, right? And you, whatever, however that language, right? You tell people. If you see a good movie, you tell people. Seriously, early this summer, we were flying somewhere, our family, and you know, push in the movie and see what they have. You know, they have free movies and all that stuff. And I'm like scanning these. I've seen most of them, okay. And I see this one that's like, it's old, it's been out forever, and it's a musical. Actually, I kind of like some musicals, you know? But I'm like, the cover didn't look good, but I just touched on it to preview it. And my jaw dropped. I'm like, you're kidding. It's the movie Mamma Mia, okay? Look, I'm humbling myself. I'm gonna just fully admit all this. So I've never been interested in this movie. I don't even wanna see it, right? But I just clicked on what it's about, and it gives me like five lines. It's all about the music of ABBA. People. Come on. Come on. If you don't know, I mean, we got our Swedes friend right back here. This is amazing. Your music is legit. I love ABBA. And so I'm like, I'm all in. This movie's 10 years old, right? And so I watched this thing on the flight, and I'm wiggling in my seat, and like, it is incredible. And we get off the flight, and I'm like, Andrea, because, you know, with kids, you don't necessarily sit by your spouse. And I'm like, Andrea, because I just watched the best movie. And she's like, what is it? Because we like to tell each other these things, right? I said, it's Mamma Mia. And she's like, oh, I saw that once. I'm like, you saw it and you didn't tell me. Like, she knows I love ABBA. I love their music. They are, guys, you're laughing like I'm strange. They're amazing, okay? And this whole movie, it's like a great cast. I mean, it's really incredible. I watched it again on a flight just a couple of weeks ago. And I'll stop, but there's a little more to it than that. But I love this thing. And I'm like, look, if you love a movie and it moves you, like you want to tell people about it, it's just so natural. How much more Christ? If you know something about the salvation of Jesus, what he's done, sing to him, bless him, tell of his salvation from day to day. This is what we're called to do. This is what we're talking about today. So we're finishing a series. It's been a 4-week series. It's called Start Class. It's our, we have some guests with us today, which is awesome. It's a new member class, essentially, that's gonna start here in like 2 months. But I wanted to preach it, even though it's an interactive class, I wanted to preach it just so our church would know what it's about. So when you invite a friend, you actually know what it is. So the first week, this is week 4, first week was starting out in faith. It's the basic gospel. It's what Christ has done for us. It's not what we've done for him, it's what he's done for us, right? The second one is starting to be the church, which is we are the church, the building's not the church, we are. And what's the unique identity of St. Paul Westport? And we just want to encounter God. We want to bring people to encounter God and know him. We think if God has a meeting, an encounter with a person, anything can happen. And we really believe that. And last week we talked about starting to share myself, meaning what does it look like to give? What does it look like to be all in and share myself, share my gifts, the unique way that God's called me? How can I serve inside the church and outside the church? Like, basically, how can I carry the kingdom of heaven with me and share the gifts he's given me? And so today, our topic is starting to make disciples. And y'all, this is not an option. This is like a mandate, absolutely, right from Jesus himself. The Great Commission, right? You know the Great Commission? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them. Teach them to obey. Jesus says, I'll be with you. Why does he have to say, I'll be with you? It's because every single time Jesus exhorts to tell people about the kingdom, which he does a lot, and every time Paul does it, and Paul writes it a lot. I'm looking for text this week. Like, what text am I going to use, Lord? And I'm like, I found a whole bunch of these. And it's just like, wait a minute. Every single one of these is in the context of suffering. I'm not kidding. Look it up. Like, every one of these. Jesus, he sends out his buds and he's like, hey, you guys are going to be like sheep among a pack of wolves. Well, think about that. What happens to sheep with wolves? They're not playing together, right? And they're not just like beating them up. They're eating them. They're destroying a sheep. A wolf will destroy a sheep. And Jesus is like, this is how I'm sending you out. It's like, gosh, that's okay, that's a little heavy. And I'm like looking through and Paul, and we're gonna look at one of these scriptures here in a moment that I just wanted it about evangelism. I just wanted it about sharing faith and making disciples. And instead it's about suffering. I'm like, wow, that's not so fun. And you know, but it's interesting because if we whittle it down to one reason, we might not be as likely to share our faith, to make a disciple, right? It almost certainly comes down to fear. I'm scared. And just in reality, so you know, the Western church, we're not good at this. We're not good at making disciples. We're just not. In general, it's not good. But look at this. The mere idea of inconvenience will just go passive. It just wasn't easy to bring up. Things were rolling. I didn't want to, I don't know. Like, we have all these excuses, right? This is true. We have all these reasons, like just mere inconvenience. I just didn't want to bring it up. We also have fear. We have genuine fear that if I tell my friend what Jesus has done for me, I'm not stuffing religion down his throat. I'm not doing anything like that, right? But if I just tell him what Jesus has done for me, it could come back on me in some way. Maybe they're going to roll their eyes at me and I'll just feel like a dork. Maybe they'll actually do something to my reputation. Maybe they'll, and we care about that stuff. I know we care about that stuff. We absolutely do. Here's what usually happens on a Sunday afternoon. My wife will say something, oh, your message today, you know, and then she gives me something that would have been incredible that, you know, it's after the fact. Well, she had to come to the early service today because Jilly's got some basketball thing. I think they're going to be at the picnic, but she sent me this, and now it's like, well, I actually can share it with you guys. Not the first service, but y'all. So, but she just finished a book. Face to Face. It's about a Muslim lady who met Jesus. She had an encounter with God, like just flat out radical transformation. It was really awesome. She's told me about it. But she highlighted something and just texted me a picture, and it says this. This is interesting. The Bible was written, so this is written by this former Muslim, right, Krishna. The Bible was written by persecuted Christians, to persecuted Christians, for persecuted Christians. Finally, many Christians don't go to evangelize Muslims because we aren't obeying what Jesus said, to make disciples of all nations. We can preach to 1,000, but if we don't disciple them, we didn't really obey Jesus. I'm like, oh, ouch. Yeah, that fits. It's this fear that we have. Here's the thing. The early church, we're going to look at a passage in the early church, right? The early church took it on. Inconvenience, fear didn't stop them. I'm absolutely convinced they were scared. In fact, there's some evidence in what we're going to look at that it doesn't mean they weren't scared to share their faith, but they still shared their faith. And what happened? What was the fruit? Thousands were added to their midst daily. A church would grow by thousands, plural, because people would stand up and share the love of Christ. It wasn't the rebuke. It wasn't the ugly side of evangelism that sometimes you see, right? It was the love of Jesus and what he can do for them. Pretty incredible. So would you open Bibles to 2 Timothy? It's in the back of the Bible. And I love this passage. Usually we look at the first couple of verses here and it's all about courage. But we're going to look a little bigger than that. I think it's about so much more. I'm excited to do this. So again, if you were here last week, we looked at Matthew 25. Jesus, it's some of his very last words. And, you know, it's like, gosh, when it's your last words, you skip the fluff, right? And you just give what's really needed. Well, today we're looking at Paul's last words that we have. 2 Timothy is a different letter than all the others. It's the last one he wrote. The guy's been beaten. He's been through everything. And he still just writes letters to the churches. And this one, though, takes on a totally different flavor. He knows this is it. He knows he's going to die. He's no longer in a house arrest kind of prison. He's in a dungeon kind of prison. It's cold. It's wet. It's just, he knows. God's given him the peace that, hey, this is happening. I'm going to die now. And so he writes to his spiritual son. There's a great story on how that came to be. Timothy. And Timothy, he had brought Timothy along when Timothy was a teen. And the story here, this is actually, I think this is so cool. So on one of Paul's mission trips, he's traveling through Turkey today, right? And he gets to these two towns of Lystra and Derbe. And he gets to these towns, and they're so offended by Paul that they beat him. Okay, he gets beat all the time. They actually stone him, they thought, to death. And they stone people. They know how to stone people to death. They thought they had done it to him miraculously by the hand of God. He survived it. He actually got up and walked away. There's hand of God, right? And so he goes to another town. But then, in pure Paul fashion, what's he do? He reverses course and goes right through the towns that persecuted him. And so 2 years after that, he's passing through that town and Paul is there, or excuse me, Timothy is there. Timothy is this guy and his mom and grandma are like, Paul, you're back. Take our son, grandson, he'll go with you. And they literally give this kid, this teenage kid, to Paul, who they just saw got beaten to a pulp within a fraction of his life and said, teach him to be like you. Yeah, like seriously. Like that's, you talk about faith and you talk about a mindset of the early church that said, look, the gospel's worth everything. Like sharing the good news. And they give Paul, Timothy's willing. I mean, this isn't like a slave thing, right? And he goes and he travels now and he's Paul, and Paul calls him, in this letter, calls him my son. Like it's a spiritual son relationship. They're super close. And so this is how this starts, right? So 2 Timothy 1, we're gonna look at verse 6. And what Paul just said is, if you look at 5, I guess you can look at 5 if you want. But he says, look, I know you got faith, bud. He's writing this letter to Timothy saying, Timothy, I need you to come. I need you to come quickly. Okay. I need you. I'm dying. This is it. Come. But he says, I know you have faith. I've seen the faith in you. It's the same faith I saw in your mom. It's your same faith I saw in your grandma. I know this faith. I see it in you. I saw it in them and I see it in you. And Timothy, you know, was like, whoa, he's gonna love this. So verse 6, we're picking up right after that. And Paul writes this, for this reason, because of the faith I see in you, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. We love that verse, right? That's great. But what he says is, look, Timothy, you're struggling with fear. I know that. Of course you're gonna have fear, but I need you to share the faith. I need you to use the gifts of God, the spiritual gifts that God has given you, the Holy Spirit and everything that comes with him. And I need you to do that to do your ministry. See, that's the thing. Fear doesn't mean I can't do something. Fear is one reality. Obedience is a second reality. And just because I'm scared of something doesn't mean I still can't do that thing. I'm a little scared, right? And it's separating the two and saying, okay, whew, I need some courage right now, but I have to step out in obedience. I still have to obey. And this is what Paul's putting on him. So then this next verse is remarkable. He says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Get this. Paul's in jail, right? And he's sending Timothy this message of encouragement. You got this. Don't be ashamed of Jesus, what he's done for you. Don't be ashamed of me. Yeah, I'm in jail, I'm gonna die now. Don't. Okay, so right now, literally right now, all across, maybe not on the West Coast yet, but across the East Coast, the Midwest, there are head football coaches at universities having one-on-one meetings with recruits who just came to their school, okay? And hypothetically, say your team got destroyed last night on national TV, ABC. Ugh, we're not ready yet, guys. It's okay. I've told you we're coming. It's all about trajectory. But anyway, say you're a different team, right? A different coach, and you get thumped yesterday. And you're sitting here, you're talking to this player, this high school player you want to come and his family, and you're like, hey, I want you to come. You're a great fit for our school. I'm telling you, if you come to our school, you're going to fit in, you're going to feel right, and honestly, we're going to get thumped a lot. We're not going to be very good. We're gonna take our lumps for the next 4 years, and you know, but you'll be a good fit. Come anyway. Okay. If a coach tries that move, it ain't happening, right? There's no way anybody would want to go play there. You just wouldn't. It's a terrible recruiting strategy. But think about what Paul's doing. It's exactly what he's doing. Paul's in a jail that's a real jail. It's not just a holding cell, right? He's in a real prison, not in good shape. He's writing his last letter. He's like, Timothy, you gotta come now. Bring my cloak, I'm frozen here. Bring the scrolls so I just wanna be comforted by God's word. Like, I mean, you know what he's saying, right? And he's saying, hey, be courageous. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. Don't be ashamed of my status, how I am now. It's worth it. It's worth it all. This is what he says. And so he goes on. See, he just talks about the power of God. And he says, This God who saved us, he called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. He didn't call these guys, he didn't call you guys to share the gospel, to make disciples because you're good enough to do it. He called you because Christ made you this way. Christ put this in you. It's not that you're earning your way into this right, that you're finally good enough now that you can share your faith, that you can disciple somebody. How it's actually working is Jesus made you good. He made you great and perfect so that you now have this identity, you have this status that you are equipped. You have everything you need because Christ has given it to you. That's incredible. Verse 10. He says, it's now being manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death. He brought life and mortality to light through the gospel. for which, Paul says, I was appointed a preacher, apostle, teacher. That's why I suffer as I do, but I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I've believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard until that day what's been entrusted to me. I'm gonna keep it in obedience. This is essentially what he said. I'm gonna keep it in obedience. 13:14, last two verses. He says to Timothy, follow the pattern of the sound words that you've heard from me. And look where it got Paul, right? Doesn't matter, that's winning. We talk about this, like the kingdom of heaven is upside down. Like winning in this world and winning in the kingdom don't always look the same. They just don't. And it's not about suffering means you're winning, it's about obedience means you're winning, right? So, he says, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. He gives Timothy this incredible message of courage. Say, look, I know you have fear. You absolutely do. You carry this fear with you that something could go wrong. You've seen it go wrong to me. Remember as a kid, as a teen, you talk about scarred nightmares. He's a kid who watched this guy he looked up to get beaten, get stoned, they thought to death, right? And now mom's saying, I get to be mentored by this guy. Okay, right? And it's like, wow. He has fear, but he also has the Holy Spirit. He has this courage, and he has a call to obedience. Guys, this is what we have. We have a call to obedience. I know what it's like to have fear. Whether it's in sharing our faith, whether it's in making a disciple, I know what it's like. I'm human, you know that, right? I have it too. There are some, and we in our church, we have several who I know are literally, they're called evangelists, like the office of the ministry, like the office of evangelists. There's no fear. I mean, they go around and it's like everything's Jesus, you know, and they talk to somebody and they ask a hard question and the person responds one way or the other and doesn't bother. Like that's amazing. And God, like whatever we can do to equip our evangelists, we gotta do. The rest of us aren't wired like that. We're sensitive to fear. I get it. But it's saying, look, all right. Yeah, it can be inconvenient sometimes. Somebody could take my reputation, which is one of the things we probably value the most. I don't know if we should, but it's probably true, right? They could do that, but I'm called. Like the Great Commission was not like for a select few followers of Christ. I mean, it's really for all of us, right? To make disciples. And okay, well, if that's the case, what does that mean? It means I'm gonna live with some fear here, but I'm gonna pray Holy Spirit in me would rise up. And so here's what I did. Going a little ways. I'm gonna be quick on this. List of four, okay? I just four very basic, overly simple. I think just helps in sharing your faith, okay? There are four things you can do so easily, but it helps. And the first one, you guys have heard before, number one's live transparently. Just absolutely live transparently. That means when you're at school, that means when you're at a work party in your neighborhood, like, and things are great, but if the topic turns somewhere that you know it's not where you're called to be part of, and that happens at every school, it happens at most every workplace, it does. You don't have to be part of that conversation. Maybe it's your group of friends. It was fine for a while, and now things just started to turn, and you're in a situation that you're really conflicted. You have get out, and don't hide the reason. Just say, I don't want to do that today. It's not me, and it's just being transparent. It's not judging. It's not saying I don't want to be like you. It's just saying I want to be like Christ. You know, it's like when we live transparently and we give a reason, we let people know, like, hey, I'm really trying to grow with God right now. And I know that if I get into that now, I'm only gonna be set back so much further. I just, man, I love you, man, but I just can't do that right now. Live transparently. What that does, it sets up conversation. And when you don't hide your problems, man, I'm telling you, people hide their problems, hide every fault, like things we're going through. It's okay to live transparently and let people see that, hey, life can get hard sometimes. It really can be. This is how I'm dealing with it right now. We're praying. We're trusting the Lord. Like, can you imagine saying that to someone who doesn't know Jesus? It's like, well, we're actually trusting the Lord. We're wrestling with him right now in prayer. Just use those words and like just be so honest. And what it does, it sets up conversation. It just sets up conversation. You want to be impact focused, not religion focused, impact focused, right? Secondly, so live transparently. Secondly, ask questions to your network. I know I use the word network because I wanted to encompass your family, your friend, your neighbors, your anyone that's like in your network, right? The people you're close to. Ask them questions. If you're like, how do I make a disciple and then walk with them eventually? But how do I even get them to know Jesus? Well, ask them a deep question. Ask them what's your biggest dream? Like, what do you want? You could tell a friend, like, you have so much right now. Like, what's your heart still after? Like, what really grips you? Like, ask them just an open question. Could you imagine if a friend of yours asked you that, looked you in the eye and just said, hey, man, what do you dream about? Like, what do you want? Where are you? You're honored. This person just, like, literally stopped, looked you in the eye and is asking a deep question, right? You ask them those questions. Ask them what they believe. That's a very safe question. What do you believe? What do you fear? What it does, that doesn't share Jesus, does it? What it does, though, is it opens dialogue. It lets them know there's something, you're going deep. You're a deep person who's looking for deep in other people. And it invites them to ask questions of you and live transparently when you answer those questions. Just tell them the truth. Does this make sense? Like, just straight up, ask deep questions. And you know what? There'll be times you ask it and the person doesn't bite. They're like, yeah, they're not in the mood today, not going there. That's totally fine. I'll do it next time. That's okay, because there are gonna be times they will bite and they'll wanna know. They'll want to answer that question. Third one, invite friends to church gatherings. You want to make disciples, you want to bring people to know Jesus, this isn't the easiest of them all. Invite them to church gatherings. Invite them to a Sunday. I have no idea, honestly, what it's like to listen to a sermon of mine. And that might be a good thing, I don't know. But it probably raises questions. Let them ask the questions. That's awesome. Why do you pray like that? Or what did that song mean when we sang this line? Like, that's incredible. Bring them. It's like show and tell. It's the easiest kind of way, right? Invite them to small group. I think that's one of the best open doors there is, honestly. Invite them to family fun nights that we have. Church picnics. Hello. So, so many things. But as we invite, Wednesday nights are... the prayer times have been incredible. Number four, know the gospel and practice communicating it. That's that one, okay. Know the gospel. Know how could you explain what Christ has done for you? 1 Peter 3, Peter, who also knew a lot of persecution, but shared his faith obediently. He wrote and he said, hey, always, right? He said, always be prepared to make a defense or to give an answer to the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. Like, always, always be ready to give an answer when somebody says, why do you trust in Jesus? Be ready. If you were going to go into an interview, like you get your eyes set on this job and you're like, I want that job. I'm the perfect fit for it. Everything about it. What do you do? Like, before the interview, you prep for it. I mean, you study what you can about that company, about that unique position. You think about yourself and how you fit into that. You think about what are my strengths that I want them to see in me. Like, you do that. That's like totally natural. You should do that, right? You don't have a manuscript where it's word for word, but you've thought these things through. You should absolutely strategize. Evangelism never happens by accident. I mean, it rarely happens by accident. It usually, it takes guts. Right? And it's like, you got to decide now that, okay, now I'm nervous. Am I going to? It's like asking somebody out on a date. For some of you, maybe that was easy, but scary stuff. Okay, that was easy for y'all apparently, but for the rest of y'all, it's like to be prepared. Like, what is the gospel and how would I share it? Guys, this is, I know this is a different kind of message. We're going, it's a class, it's a membership class that's supposed to be interactive. Obviously today's not overly interactive. But the heart is to be a part of this church, to be a part of any church is a commitment to make disciples. And a commitment to make disciples doesn't happen without thought. Doesn't happen without effort, and doesn't happen without courage. And that's what this is about, what Christ has done for us. That's Psalm 96, man. We want to tell of his salvation every day. We want people to see Jesus living in us, just transparently. That's what this is about today. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you. Thank you for your goodness, for giving us every reason in the world to share the love that you have. God, would you, just like Paul spoke over Timothy, give us the courage, the self-control, the power of God, all of that, Lord, impart in us, that we would displace the fear with everything we can to let this world see you living in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.